Let's take our Bibles and go to Psalm chapter 56. Psalm chapter 56 this morning. We've been working in the past several months, verse by verse, to the book of Genesis, but in light of recent events, the Lord put this passage of Scripture on my heart for this hour today, and really for this day today. We'll be in Psalm 56 all day today, the morning service and the evening service. I believe that God has a special message for us in this hour. Now, I don't know, my ushers can help me. Did anybody not get an outline for the message today and you need one? I want to make sure you get one of those. We have a couple. If you could see our ushers, if you could see if there's any more back there. If you just keep your hand up, if there's any more back there, they will get those to you if you raise your hand. Chapter 56 is where we'll be at in the Scripture together today. And we've been sitting for a few moments, so if you're physically able to, I'm going to ask you to stand with me as we read the Scripture together this morning. Psalm chapter 56, and beginning in verse number 1. For many of you, this heading will be in there at the beginning of the psalm. It says, to the chief musician upon Jonath-elam-rekokim. Now try to say that 5 times fast. Michtim of David, when the Philistines took him in Gath. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. I want you to read that verse out loud with me this morning. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. In God I will praise His Word. In God I've put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In Thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put Thou my tears in Thy bottle. Are they not in Thy book? When I cry unto Thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. Read this next phrase with me. This I know, for God is for me. In God I will praise His Word. In the Lord will I praise His Word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto Thee, for Thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not Thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? I want to preach to you a message from this timely psalm for the moments that we are experiencing in this day and time from Psalm 56, a message that I've simply entitled, Faith in the Midst of Fear. We're going to begin it this morning. We're going to end it tonight at the evening service. Let's pray and ask God to speak to our hearts as we get started this morning. Father, thank You for this time that we've already been able to share in worship, singing about how You're worthy, Lord. Singing, blessed be Your name in spite of all that's going on in our lives. We can still bless You. We can still sing of Your worthiness. We can still give You glory. And Lord, we can still trust You. And today, Lord, I pray that we would not succumb any longer to fear, that we would choose to put our faith, even in the midst of these times, whatever is going on in each one of our lives, our faith in You. And I pray, God, that You would speak to us in a very real and helpful way this morning, as only You can. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing this morning. Now, fear is something that we've been hearing a lot about, and for some of us, experiencing quite a bit here lately. In this year in particular, I think it all started with the idea of the 2020 elections. That's enough to scare anybody if you let it. The things you see going on today. And then for many people, they were impacted deeply in the month of February by the death of Kobe Bryant. Many of us watched that man play basketball for many years. I don't know. Colorado's not as big of a basketball state as Indiana was. But I think that impacted a lot of people and reminded us of the brevity of life. And of course, most recently, the coronavirus and the panic that has ensued from it. And it's unbelievable, the fear, and you really see it when you go to the supermarket nowadays. and you go to the store. You see the fear, the panic that is wrapping around people, even in our little city of Cortez, and of course around the world here today. And the evil leaders of this world, no doubt being influenced by Satan himself and his minions, I believe, they desire to use fear to control people. You make no mistake about it, that is exactly what's happening. They're using fear to control people. The mass panic in our society has been a vivid display of that very thing. And yet all of this should come as no surprise to us as believers. You look in your notes, the Bible says in Job chapter 14 and verse number 1, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of what?
Trouble.
Well, that's an encouraging verse, isn't it? But it's true nonetheless. Life in this world is not always easy because we live on this side of eternity in a sin-cursed world. And God warns us throughout His Word that there will be difficulties that we each will face in this life, even as believers. We each are going to face difficulties as we go through this life. And in these difficulties will often be things that cause us to fear. Now you listen to me on this. We'll never be rid from the things that cause our hearts to fear so long as we live on this earth. There will be unknowns. There will be things that we cannot predict are going to happen. There will be circumstances that cause the feeling of fear to well up in our hearts. This is why Jesus told us in John chapter 16 and verse 33, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Read the last part of that verse if you see it there in your notes. I have overcome the world. Yes, we're going to have trouble, but we serve a God who's in control, who has overcome the world. And we often think that if we have strong faith, truly, that we'll never experience fear. But that could not be farther from the truth. You see, fear is a reactive feeling. Something happens and it causes us to rise within us this feeling in response to something that's happened, this feeling of fear. Fear is a reactive feeling. Faith, on the other hand, is a proactive choice. To put it in another term, faith is not the absence of fear. It is a choice to trust God's word in spite of it. I'm going to say that again. Faith is not the absence of fear. It is the choice to trust God's word in spite of your fears. And how important that is for us to understand. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 tells us that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God's not given us the spirit of fear. It doesn't mean we won't face fears and difficulties and troubles on this side of eternity, but we have a faith in God that can overcome those fears. And thank God for that truth. I heard the story this past week about a man who had struggled with a fear of someone being under his bed at night since his childhood. And it went on into his young adulthood, and he just couldn't seem to get the type of rest he needed. So finally he decided to go to a psychiatrist to get some help. And he came to the psychiatrist and he told him his problem. He said, every time I go to bed, I think there's somebody under it, and I'm scared, and I think I'm going crazy. I think I'm going out of my mind with this thing. I need some help. And the psychiatrist looked at him and said, well, just put yourself in my hands 3 times a week for 1 year and you'll be fine. We'll get over this thing really quickly. Naturally, the first question the man had was, well, how much is a session? And the psychiatrist said, $80. And the man said, well, I'm going to have to think about that and I'll get back to you. Well, 6 months later, the psychiatrist was out and about and he ran into this man. It was a little bit dumbfounded that he had never come back to get help. And so he was curious about how things have gone. And so he asked him, why didn't you come back to see me about your fears? And the man said, well, $80 3 times a week for a year is a lot of money. So I wanted to go talk to my preacher first and see if he could help me. And he gave me a cure for free. And the psychiatrist said, a little bit perturbed by the whole thing, Well, they said, well, I would just love to know what in the world this preacher came up with to help you overcome those fears. And the man looked at him and said, he told me to cut off the legs under the bed. Ain't nobody under there now. I'd say that's pretty good advice right there. In a practical sense, God has a way of telling us how to cut out the legs from under the bed of our fears. And he tells us how to do it throughout the scripture, but in particular here in Psalm chapter 56. I want to say this to you. You can choose to be tyrannized by your fears or triumphant in your faith. The choice is yours. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Amen. So will you be enslaved by your fears, or will you learn to experience overcoming victory through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Word of God? That's what the Word of God wants to help us with here in Psalm chapter number 56. And I believe in this chapter of Scripture, God's Word shows us how to have faith in the midst of our fears. And so let's notice what the Bible has to say to us here in Psalm 56. Notice the heading. How many of you have that heading at the beginning of Psalm 56? Yeah, I believe it should be in most of your Bibles. The whole psalm is prefaced with these words. It says, to the chief musician upon Jonathalama Rekokim, Michtim of David, when the Philistines took him in Gath. Now this preface, it gives us all of the information we need to understand the context of how this psalm came to be written. It was obviously written by David, the Bible says here in the scriptures. And the name, Jonath Elama Rekokim. Now that's the last time I'm going to say that word, I think. That name, this is what it literally means. It means the silent dove in a distant land. And in that very name right there, it tells us a little bit of the context of what took place before this psalm was written. Now the full story of this psalm is in 1 Samuel chapter 21, I believe verses 10 through 15. We're not going to take the time to read that, but I put it in your notes so you can read it later if you'd like to do so. Don't do it now though. You might get distracted. But let me give you a summary of what was taking place here. David was being hunted down by his own government. His own king was after his head because God had appointed David to be the next king and to take King Saul's place. And so out of urgency from being pursued by his own government, David fled to the land of his enemies, the land of the Philistines. And while he was there in the land of the Philistines, the Bible indicates to us here that the Philistines captured him. They took him. They laid a hold of him and they took him to their capital city, to their king, Achish. Now, the Philistines knew well who David was. How many remember the story of David and Goliath? Well, they knew. David, he's the guy that killed our most prominent warrior. David has killed his tens of thousands. The songs they used to sing about David, the Philistines knew very well. They didn't like David very much, to say the least. And so David is put in this precarious situation from the home front. The army of his nation is hunting him for his life, and now he's in the land of his enemies, and his enemies take him captive, and he's brought in front of the king of the nation of his enemies. And the Bible tells us that when he stood in front of that king, he feigned himself to be insane. He acted like a crazy person, slobbering, spittle going all over the place, scratching against the wall. I thought about trying to mimic it for you up here. I think I'll pass. But when the king Achish saw David acting that way, he thought, well, this couldn't be the guy they say all these things about. And if he is, he's gone out of his mind. He's no use to us. And so they let David go. And that's how this whole circumstance transpired. And so understand, it was as a result of these desperate circumstances that David poured out his heart to God in this psalm. He was surrounded by trouble. He was surrounded by fear. Fear from within his own homeland and fear from without. There was trouble all surrounding him. And in the midst of the time of trouble in his life, in the midst of all of these things that caused his heart to fear, we find that David just determined to trust God. He said again in verse number 3, let's read it out loud together, verse number 3, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." So let's notice together from this psalm how the Bible tells us David experienced faith in the midst of fear. And from learning from David, I believe we can learn how we ourselves can have faith even in the midst of facing our fears. And oh, how important this is for us. Now, the first thing I want you to write down in your notes when it comes to facing our fears with faith is this: choose to trust in the will of God. Choose to trust in the will of God. Now, if you want to write another word under that, it's a Bible word, it's a theological word, you can write this word, sovereignty. Now, good luck on spelling it. But sovereignty, that's what we're talking about. Choose to trust in the will of God. In the first three verses of this psalm, as David begins, the Bible tells us that he was writing as a dove in a distant land. He wasn't in his homeland. He's in the land of his enemies. He's on the run from his own government. And that's the situation that David found himself, as a dove in a distant land, surrounded by his enemies, and yet he was trusting God to take care of him, even in the midst of those circumstances that he found himself in. Now, you listen to me on this thing right here. As believers, you and I, we find ourselves as well far from home. As we often sing the old song, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's wonderful shore, and I can't be at home in this world anymore." Now, this for us as believers, this is just a temporary dwelling place for us. One day, we're going to go to an eternal home. And so we're far from home, just like David found himself far from home here in Scripture. And yet, though we're far from our heavenly home on this side of eternity, still, the eyes of our sovereign God are upon us to care for us in our journey through this world. And we can have the same confidence that David had, even in the midst of his fears and the circumstance that he found himself in. You see, Jesus told us in Matthew chapter number 10, notice what he said, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father?" He goes on to say, "Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." Let me tell you something. You can be sure the same God who attends the funeral of every sparrow has enough time and compassion to care for you in whatever circumstance that you find yourself in today. And David was appealing to this God, the God who genuinely does care and can take care of him. And notice what he began to say as he's trusting in the will of this God. The Bible says in verse 1, he said, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou Most High." Now just think about the things that David describes here about the desire of his enemies against him. Some of the things he said they desired to swallow him up twice. That comes from a Hebrew word that literally means to trample on. Or in a very literal sense, it talks about someone who's just thirsty for blood. They wanted to annihilate him. One of the other things he said is that they desired to fight against him, literally to make war against him. Then he said in verse number 2 that in all this they desired to, or verse number 1, that in all this they desired to oppress him. That word oppresseth, it literally means to afflict his soul, to cause him pain and to cause him misery. And the interesting thing about this is that his enemies were coming from both within his country and without his country. And both from within and from without, there was an onslaught being waged against David in this circumstance in his life. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever feel like this world is trying to trample on you? Do you ever feel like the circumstances that are happening in your life are just afflicting your soul? Have you ever been in this type of place like David's describing himself being in here today? Well, if you haven't, then just go turn on the news. It won't take long for you to get to that place. I wouldn't recommend watching very much news, by the way. It ain't going to do you any good. But David was put into this place of feeling oppressed, being afflicted. A war was being raged against him by all those around him. And all these circumstances were happening in his life, but I want you to notice that in the midst of the turmoil surrounding him, David made a choice to turn to the Most High God. Notice what he said in verse 1 again. Look at verse 1 with me. If you're still with me, say amen. Amen. Verse 1, he said, "Have mercy upon me, O God." And then he makes his plea. And at the end of verse 2, he says, he appeals to, "O thou Most High." Listen, notice this. David, in his moment of turmoil and desperation, he turned to the one who is Most High. The one who rules over all. He turned to the one whose designs would overcome the desires of his enemies against him. That's the one who he appealed to. And don't miss this right here. You listen to me this morning. Our God is still that same sovereign God. He is still sitting on his throne, ruling over the affairs that go on in this world today. To put it frankly, God's still in charge. The Bible says in Psalm 103 and verse number 19, "The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all." Now, I love our American history. And one of the men that I have studied and enjoy to read about from the revolutionary time period of our American history is Benjamin Franklin. You know, there was a time when Benjamin Franklin stood up at that first Continental Convention, and he spoke these words, and I quote, he said, "I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men." Translation, God's in charge. He's still on the throne. And so I tell you this morning, no matter what you face in this life, you can count yourself safe in the hands of the one who has everything under control. Even if everything else seems like it's out of control, God still has everything under control. And you can rest in that confidence right there. And friend, if you're going to try to go to Walmart in this day and time, you need to rest in the sovereignty of God, okay? He has it under control, because it doesn't look like there's anything under control there right now. But I'm glad that God is still in control. And so it was to this God who is in control, this God whose will he knew would prevail, this sovereign God, that David said in verse number 3, and I read again, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." Now that word afraid is a Hebrew word that literally means to be terrified or to have your heart filled with dread of what could be. And, you know, we talked about this earlier. The fact is, so long as we're living on this side of eternity, we will never be able to escape the types of circumstances that can happen in our life that can fill our heart with dread. You could go into work tomorrow, and they could say, "I just don't know how much longer we're going to be able to be open." And your heart will be filled with dread, I guarantee it. You wake up tomorrow, and your child is sick. I fill your heart with dread. Those types of circumstances we cannot escape so long as we're on this side of eternity. But I want you to know what David said. Notice what David said in spite of this fear that he was experiencing. He said there in verse 3, "What time?" Well, that's a Hebrew word that literally speaks of a day, a specific day, or a specific time, or a specific year. And what he was saying is, hey, whenever the circumstance comes, whenever the moment of fear comes into my life, I'm going to make a choice, and I'm going to choose to do something. I'm going to choose to trust in thee. That word trust, it's a wonderful word in the Hebrew. That word trust, it literally means to be confident, to be secure, or to feel safe. That's what it's talking about. And in the moments of his fear, whenever they came, David had made a choice. I'm going to choose to find my security, to find my confidence not in my circumstances, but in my Savior. And the one who has all of these circumstances under control. And so though he was surrounded by terrifying circumstances, David just chose to put his confidence and his security in God's very capable hands. I heard the story about an old cowboy. He went to go buy life insurance. Well, you know this is going to be good. He went to go buy life insurance, and when he went to talk to the man at the life insurance company, the broker, asked him if he had any accidents in the past year. And the cowboy said, old cowboy said, no, I hadn't had any accidents. He said, I was kicked by a horse, and I was chased by a raging bull and bit by a snake. But I got back from all those things. And then the broker, he just looked at him and said, well, you don't think those things were accidents? And the cowboy said, no. No, they all did it on purpose. You see, he found out something. When you really look at the scope of the things that happen in this world, accidents really don't happen. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? God's never been surprised. There's not ever an accident that's happened from God's scope when he looks at this world. No. And what that means for you and I is beautiful. Because what that means for you and I is that there is not a circumstance. There is not a situation. There is not a difficulty. There is not a trial that will happen in your life that God didn't already know about. And he doesn't already know how to bring you through. We serve a God whose will prevail. He has the circumstances of this world well in hand, and the best choice we can make is just to trust that God knows where he's taking us, and it's just to let him lead the way. I like what the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. The Lord said, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. See, God knows already the end from the beginning of your life and mine. Hey, God knew when this coronavirus thing was going to start, and he knows when it's going to be over. Well, it's 1 week, 2 weeks, or more than that. I don't know, but God knows. And I can trust that God has these things well in hand. That's what I'm talking about. And so in the midst of his feelings of fear, how did he overcome them? By making a choice of faith. Faith in the will of God. Hey, one of the best ways that you can overcome the feelings of anxiety and fear that you may be facing, whether you're facing them now or you face them in the future, is learning to trust in the fact that you have a sovereign God. That's one of the greatest assurances that we can have on this side of eternity, that we have a God who knows what he's doing. And though we may not always understand it, though we may not ever always be able to communicate exactly what God is doing, we can know that God knows what he's doing. And that is a comfort indeed to know. Now there's one more thing I want us to see before we're done this morning here together. First, how are we going to have faith in the midst of fear? Well, choose to trust in the will of God. Number two, write this down. Choose to trust in the Word of God. Now we're running out of time, but I want you to notice what he goes on to say in verse number four. He said, in God will I praise his what?
Word.
In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Now, in verse number four, the word praise is a very interesting word. It literally means to shine forth light or to boast about something. That's what the Hebrew word praise talks about there. Here's what was really interesting to me in my study. If you go back to 1 Samuel chapter 21, we won't do it now, but the same word that is used to communicate how David made himself appear to be a madman in front of King Achish is the same word used for praise here. Now that shocked me. that was the same thing. This is what I wrote down about this. As much as David had made a fool of himself in fear, he now wanted to exert the same energy to make a fanatic of himself in faith. Amen. You know, fear makes us do a lot of dumb things. I'm sure we probably all have our own stories about some of the things that we've done in fear towards something else. I heard about the story of a passenger in a taxi who got in the taxi and he just leaned over to ask the driver a question about where they were going to, and he tapped him on the shoulder. And when he tapped him on the shoulder, the taxi driver flipped out. He started swerving out the road, and he almost hit a bus, and then he went up over a curve and finally came to a halting stop, and they were both just sitting there mesmerized for a couple of seconds. Like, what in the world just happened? And finally, the driver came to himself, and he said, I am so sorry. Are you okay? And that passenger was sitting back in that back seat, and he was blown away by it, and he just said something along the lines of, Man, I never would have thought that just tapping you on the shoulder would scare you so bad. And he said, I am so sorry. It's not your fault. It's my fault, the driver said. He said, you've got to understand, this is my first day as a taxi driver. For the past 25 years, I've been driving a hearse. Now, I dare say you might be a little scared too, if that happened to you. But fear can make us do a lot of foolish things. Like go down to Walmart and take all the toilet paper. Take all the canned goods. Make us do a lot of foolish things. By the way, if you took a lot of that toilet paper, I will find you. I'm just kidding. It makes us do a lot of foolish things. David had praised to make himself a fool in order to get him out of a situation of fear. But later he came back and he wrote this psalm, and he said, you know what? In God, I will praise his word. And listen to me on this. While fear will make a fool of you, when you learn to have genuine faith, your faith will make a fanatic of you. And through this difficult circumstance, when David was faced with fear all about, he learned a valuable lesson. Even more so than I made a fool of myself in fear, now he wanted to stand boldly in confident faith in the Word of God. In the Word of God. Now, growing up, I remember my parents and my wife's parents. The same thing could be said about them, but I remember literally hearing people tell my parents that they were crazy. Some of the things that they did raising us kids. Not letting us date, not letting us go certain places. We were homeschooled, and that was a really different thing where we grew up at as well. Family members, co-workers of my dad, they'd hassle them and give them a hard time. Say, well, you're just sheltering those kids, and when they grow up, they're going to go sow their wild oats anyways. You're crazy. You think that's going to work? All these things they used to say to mom and dad. Fanatics about their faith. Looking back now, by the grace of God, we didn't do what they said we'd do. We actually liked how mom and dad raised us. We actually learned to believe the same things that they taught us to believe. It's one of the reasons I'm standing here as a pastor today. My brother's a youth pastor in Pennsylvania. My sister is a faithful, godly wife living in Mississippi right now. I'm thankful that my parents were fanatics about their faith. I'm glad they lived to glorify God and His Word in every choice that they made, especially concerning us kids. And you listen to me on this. Living by faith in God's Word will always be peculiar to the people of this world. But it is living out your faith in God's Word that most shines forth His praise. See, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, and a peculiar, that means an odd, a weird people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And in the middle of the time of his fears, David made a choice in God. I will shine forth His praise by my trust, confidence in His Word. In other words, what he goes on to say in the next verses, and we're running out of time here, what he goes on to say in the next verses is, hey, all of these other people, They have a lot of opinions and a lot of things to say against me. Let's just read them real quick. Verse number five. He said, every day they rest or they vex my words. All their thoughts or their plans or their devisings are against me for evil. In other words, all the plans of the enemy, they were just talking about things and thinking about things to try to cause him pain and misery. They're against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. And he describes how all of these, his enemies, they were against him. But in spite of all of what they had to say against him, in spite of all the plans that they were trying to contrive against him, go back to verse 4 and look what he said. He said, in God will I praise his word. In God I have put my trust. And read that last phrase with me. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Friend, that word flesh, it's a Hebrew word that literally speaks of the body itself or of humankind. And regardless of what society had to say against his faith, regardless of what the circumstances had to say to try to get him to doubt his faith, understand this. David had said, I'm going to live with confidence in God's word, and I'm going to let God prove himself through my circumstance. Do you think God's good for his word? Oh, he's good for his word. He's proved it time and time and time and time again. And David said, essentially, this is what it boils down to. It was man's word against God's word. And David had to make a choice. I'm going to listen to all the fears and threatenings and the devisings of my enemies, and allow myself to become succumbed to those things and to live in fear all my life. I'm just going to trust God's word. And I'm going to go forward with every confidence. And here's where it comes down to here for me. And we're going to continue with this here tonight, because there's a couple other things we need to see from this passage of Scripture. This is what it comes down to here for me. So many people are controlled by fear in their life. God has given us a solution. Not to completely take away our fears, because fear is a responsive reaction to circumstances of life. And so long as we're in this world, those circumstances will arise from time to time. But the way to overcome your fear is to respond to it in faith, to make a proactive choice to trust God. The first two things we learn on how to do that in this psalm is to just trust in the will of God. Do you think God knows where he's taking you? You don't know where you're going. You don't even know if you're going to be living tomorrow. To be frank. But God knows the way. Just trust in his plan. Trust in the will of God and trust in the word of God. If God said he'd do it, you can bank on it. He's good for it. You can trust in the word of God. So what's your choice going to be today? Are you going to choose to believe what the news tells you to believe? What society tells you to believe? Even for some of you, what your family might be telling you to believe? Are you going to choose, in the midst of your fears, to trust the Lord? What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Oh, you'll face fears so long as you walk in this earth. But this is the victory that overcometh the world. And all of those fears and all of those struggles, even our faith. Choose to trust in the Lord. I want all of you to bow your head and close your eyes with me. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are